Father in heaven, we come before you again this evening on this midweek here during the week, with the Sabbath being the seventh day, Sunday being the first day of the week. And we just thank you for the blessings and taking care of us and providing for us and protecting us. And we ask that you'll please inspire the study this evening, both the discussion, the teaching, the listening, edifying and esteeming each other better than ourselves, and to remember that, Father, our purpose is to please you and to serve and praise you, and to also with one another remember that. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts and minds. We pray for this country. We pray for this nation. We pray for the leaders, whether we like them or not. We pray for them, God, and your blessing and your will be done, whatever that is. And we just pray that you'll help us not to become polarized one side or the other, and some of the things on social media are embarrassing. Father, let's stay out of that. Help us to stay out of that and just pray for your will to be done, that what you choose and allow is for the greater purpose, that you, God, our thoughts are not your thoughts. So help us to remember that. So we now just pray as we go through the book of Joel. Continue. You'll bless this evening. Pray the transmission will go well, as well as the reception. And we thank you and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, once again, welcome to everybody to, let me start my video so you can see I'm in a t-shirt because it's hot. But it's a clean t-shirt. It's a white t-shirt. That's how you can tell who the groom is at a Polish wedding or an Italian wedding. They're the one, he's the one with a clean t-shirt. So let's go to Joel chapter 2, verse 11. That's what Bill Garrett said where we are. And I trust Bill. He's never led me wrong except when we go fishing. So, Joel chapter 2, verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. I'll make a comment or two about before his army. There's four possibilities on this. And if you go over to verse 25, you can look it up later. You'll notice it says, "My great, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I set among you." So there's four possibilities of what this army is. Number one, it's the actual locust. Number two, from history, if you know your history, it could have been the Chaldeans or the Assyrians when they were taking over Israel. A third possibility, it could be the Babylonians taking the Jews. And then the fourth possibility, which many like to focus in on, could be the Second Woe or the Russian Horde, which we'll talk more about that as we begin later on in the verses here. So those are the options. If we go over to, I believe, and Eric's not on, or okay, so Kathy, can you look up Isaiah 13, verse 9? Because literally talking about these locust plagues, then analogizes them, if you will, with a very destructive army. I'd like you to read that. I think that's the verse that I remember.
Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. Verse 12. Therefore, also now says the Eternal, turn you even to me with all your heart. I'm going to mute you, Kathy.
Thank you.
I got it. All right. Turn to me even with all your heart. Okay? He's pleading with them to repent, begging them, beseeching them. And with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. There's a misunderstanding at times with the people of God and what the purpose of fasting is. I can remember being told by those over me, now, before we ordain someone, we need to fast and pray about this. And I said, why? And they said, well, then we'll know God's decision. I said, I don't buy that. Fasting is for the sole purpose of drawing close to God so we realize how puny we are and how grand God is, and that without Him, we're nothing. You don't fast to say, well, I want God to give me this job or give me this mate or whatever it is. It's for the purpose of turning to Him with all our heart and simply saying, here I am, Lord, I am nothing. And so he said, come with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And verse 13 says, what are you like inside? Rend your heart, not your garments. Don't rip your clothes and cut your flesh and scream and holler and gyrate. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repents him of the evil. The word repents, he changes his mind of what he's going to do. He doesn't need to repent because he hasn't sinned. God cannot sin. It's impossible for him to do that. But to repent, to change his mind. And so he pleads with them. He says, look what you are inside. That's what I'm concerned with. To change. And Jeremiah 18, verse 8, Kathy, can you look that up? I've got another verse I'd like you to read. We're talking about God changing his mind. If Israel turns to God, he will change the plan. But why? They're not going to. They won't.
What's the verse?
Jeremiah 18, verse 8, I believe.
If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it.
Okay, thank you. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Verse 15, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, call a solemn assembly. There's a cross reference for that. You can look it up later, 2 Samuel 12, verses 20 to 23. I won't read that right now. But he says, sound the alarm. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Now, I'm going to make some comments here. I want you to listen carefully. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. He's getting very specific. There's a reason. And those that suck the breasts, those that are nursing. At times I've been accused, oh, you're too graphic. You're too in detail. I'm just reading scripture. Take it up with the Lord that inspired it. Okay, I'm just reading what scripture says. And let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. What does that mean? Let me translate it for you. Okay, let me translate it for you. What does that mean? Well, in the marriages at that time, they would usually leave the married couple alone for a year. They stayed, a lot of times, they just stayed inside. I'm not going to say any more. And when the girl, which is what is talking about here, the bride out of her closet, this isn't talking about, like we say, somebody coming out of the closet today, but in a sense it is. She's being a bad girl. She's coming out in public. She's supposed to be with her husband. That was the culture. That was what was done. And so he says, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that are nursing, the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride. We need to seriously take stock of what's going on. This is serious business. Everybody came out. I want everybody to realize the sobriety, it doesn't just apply to them or them, it applies to everybody. And then he goes on in verse 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and give not your heritage to reproach, that the heathen shall rule over them. Don't let this happen. The ministers are supposed to recognize what's wrong and intervene. There are times when, to me, it's blatantly obvious what's wrong, but boy, you say something, woohoo, are you going to catch it in the neck? So you just shut your mouth and say nothing. Well, God says you can't do that. You need to be crying between the porch and the altar and spare your people, O Lord, that the heathen shall not rule over them. Don't let this happen. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You're going to make you and everybody else look ridiculous. You remember when David, when the prophet, Nathan the prophet came and he said, told him the story, and David got all worked up and he said, you are that person? He said, okay, David repented in Psalm 51. We know that. Acts 13 says he was a man after his own heart. He repented. But he said, you have put a stain on the nation of Israel and your family. You've repented, but you still have the consequences there. It's sort of like you've heard the saying, once you say something, you can't take it back. Once you've uttered it, or the old saying, it's better to be thought you're a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. And so, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yes, the Lord, and this is a very encouraging verse in these words here. Yes, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, stop. Stop what you're doing and pay attention and take note. I will send you corn and wine. So see, Victoria, he sends you corn. Victoria loves to prepare. I saw pictures of all this corn, and I'm eating some of her cream corn when they were here for church recently. And wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you reproach among the heathen. Any of us would love to hear God say that to us. Verse 20, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. Locusts generally, when they come on their plagues, will come in from the north. Predictive, if you will, of what was going to happen. And I will drive them into the land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he has done great things. Let's go to, if you just, you can write this down, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. It says it will take months in burying the armies of Gog and Magog. If you've ever seen some of the wars that have taken place where they have these mass graves, they just dig a big trench and just dump the bodies in. There's no ceremony. There's no respect. They just dump them in and cover them up. Partly to keep disease from running rampant, partly because they just want it out of the way and then decompose and be done with. There's not any honor in mass graves. And so, Russia will finally get defeated for what it has done. It'll get defeated for what it was done. And by the way, I just want to make a comment. I would be very careful to take sides with Russia and Ukraine. You're listening to the media. Okay. Be very careful to say big bad Russia and poor old Ukraine. You need to do your history and do some research and find out. We all the old saying that he is without sin, as Christ had the group of people that came up with the woman. All the men found this woman in adultery. Christ sat down and wrote on the ground. But he said, he is without sin. Let him cast the first stone. We need to be very careful to not get sucked into our news media in this country or any nation. I learned this many, many years ago traveling internationally. And then I had a man working for me that was in a certain group in the military. And he wouldn't divulge anything, but he would tell me, he made a comment. He said, whatever you see on the news, generally it's very, very skeptically partially true for whatever slant they want. And so just be careful. Don't start jumping on the bandwagon, especially on social media. Remember, once it's out there, you can't take it back. And some people have a reputation of being argumentative or just very bombastic or very opinionated. We all have opinions. Unfortunately, in the church, sometimes we're too opinionated. We need to learn to be swift to hear and slow to speak and listen. But we're quick to just jump on our bandwagon and thunder and holler and point fingers. So be careful. But the stink shall come up, the ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land. Okay? And rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. The world is going to be, when he returns and everything is set up like it should be, great things. It's going to be beautiful once again. And I look forward to that. I really do. Verse 22, it'll be a beautiful time. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. The tree bears her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Verse 23, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the rain, the former rain, which is to prepare the soil moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. So the rain to prepare the harvest. So you need rain to soften the ground, and then you need rain for the summer, the rain that comes as you get further into that. It's a beautiful time, but you need to prepare the soil, and then you need to prepare it for the harvest. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And this is very comforting here. In verse 27, and I'd like, Kathy, for you to turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, and I'll have you read that in a moment. 1 John 2, 3 to 4. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the eternal your God. Can you read 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Kathy?
Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So,
So,
whoever keeps, oh,
go ahead.
sorry,
That's
that.
fine. So, walking, and he's in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, requires what? Not just saying his name and letting him come into your heart to the Holy Spirit and all the mushy stuff that you see all over on Sunday mornings and the different religious teachers. But you keep his commandments, you obey him, you do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. We must never be ashamed to obey God. And we're going to be tested on that. You haven't really yet. You will be. You will be. You haven't yet, but we will be. You may in a little ways, but not like what's coming. Verse 28. By the way, I just want to make a side note. Kathy, you mentioned the Hebrew Bible or the Jewish Bible. In the Hebrew Bible, this begins chapter 3 here in verse 28. Okay, it begins, it ends with verse 32 here, but it's just interesting how it's realigned there. I remember that. if my memory serves me correctly. And it shall come to pass afterward, here's real repentance at this time, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Right now, it is only poured out to those that have been called and respond to him. But that's today. It says, I will pour it out. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Their young men shall see visions. And also upon your servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. For those of you that like the Strong's Concordance, I don't use it a lot. The word 80, number 8210, this means to spill out like a liquid. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 16 uses that exact same word. So it's just going to pour out and spill out. I was making dinner tonight and I had some chicken soup in a pan and or whatever. I had, yeah, pan. I had too much in it. And it's boiled out over the sides and under the hot stove, and so it made a stinky mess and had to wait till it cooled down, use a razor blade and clean it all off. But if I'd had Kathy's house, it would have been totally protected by these weird tins with these weird men all over it. But anyway, so it spilled out all over. So that pretty graphic to me. What's going to happen here? In verse 30. And by the way, the Holy Spirit here, this is a good scripture that debunks the Trinity for those that believe that. Because what? It's not a person, it's the very essence of God. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And so here we are in verse 30. Many cross references. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 calls this the time of Jacob's trouble. Pillars of smoke. Is that some kind of bomb? When it hits, the smoke just rises? I don't know. Going to be a nasty time. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes. So they're not simultaneous. They're in order. There's a specific order as we look at this. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That doesn't just mean, oh, Lord Jesus, or oh, Father. It doesn't just mean that. It means they repent. Okay? No, it says they may be spared. But it doesn't say eternally saved. They'll be delivered from this situation. And so that's important to discuss because they will be saved, but not permanently. And even in the millennium, which a lot of people confuse that with the kingdom of God, because it's not the completeness of it, when Christ returns during the millennium, there will be baptisms, a lot of them. Because people will have to be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. At what point will they be changed? That's up to God. But you can't be part of God's family unless you've been repented. So the world says all you have to do is say his name and bring him into your heart. No, that's not true. But they will be delivered, for in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be delivered, says the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Let's now begin chapter 3, and I'm going to probably end a little bit earlier, maybe not, we'll see, but go a few verses here. For behold, in those days and in that time, so in general terms, it's talking about the day of the Lord as we go through here. When I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather in all nations and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, which means, if I remember right, God has judged. And I will plead with them, they're my people, and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations via captivity and parted my land. So God says here, He says, I've seen enough. Okay, now we're gonna, this is what's gonna happen after being scattered among the nations in captivity. And they have cast lots for my people. Translate that. They have taken the Israelites as slaves, using them for trade, and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yes, and what have you done you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? If you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? I'm going to read this out of from the paraphrased Bible. Basically says this, more or less: Are you repaying me for something I have done? If you are paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return on your own heads what you have done. Wow, what a, that's not something you want to hear God say to you. Verse 5, because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. A couple of the translations say, you have raped my people. It talks about raping the earth, a very vile, disgusting thing. But he said, you have taken my silver and gold, carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. And so it's not a compliment. He's upset. And verse 6, I think we'll end here. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold into the Grecians. So they've sold them into captivity. Kathy, if we could go to Ezekiel chapter 27 and verse 13, I'd like you to read that, that you might remove them from their border.
Javan, Tubal, and Meshech were your traders. They bartered human lives in vessels of bronze for your merchandise.
Okay, so what were those guys' names again?
Javan, Tubal, and Meshech.
Right. They traded the people as if they were merchandise. Okay, they traded them as if they, well, hey, I'll trade you a dozen eggs for whatever. They were considered as merchandise. And these were God's people. So I'm going to go ahead, and we're quitting a little bit early, but I want to stop there and ask if anybody has any questions or comments or thoughts. Let me look and see if there was something else I wanted to make a comment. You read 27:13, right, Kathy? Can you read? Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 12 as well. I think that might have added another verse I wanted to.
One third of you shall die of the pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst, and one third shall fall by the sword all around you, and I will scatter another third to all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them.
Okay, that's not the one I wanted, but that sounds pretty ugly too.
Yeah.
Okay, I just had a note written in my notes, and I was trying to, I thought that was it. But anyway, so any comments or thoughts as we go through this, and hopefully next time we can finish the book of Joel, maybe, and then we'll have a test. I want to see if I get any reaction from Kathy. I didn't, so it wasn't worth it. All
Not me.
right. Any comments from anybody?
There were a series of I guess you'd call them blood moons. Was that, I don't know, it was like 8 or 9 years, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know if you recall that, but there was a one of the preachers was very adamant that these blood moons were a sign of the imminent coming of these troubled times.
That was in 2014 and 2015.
Yeah. But what's interesting is you notice this still takes place today. You have certain religious people all over the place. Unfortunately, some within the Church of God, Greater Church of God, that will focus in and pinpoint on, for example, this last eclipse. People got so bug-eyed over that. You remember? About all the things, and the government in the United States was going to put in martial law, the military was coming in, the National Guard, and all these people, and all this, and it was just crazy. The preppers, everybody was jumping on the bandwagon. And I just said, I'm just not going to address it, ignore it. And we humans have a proclivity. Oh, this was the other thing. Then when Beryl, the hurricane, came in, there was this big thing in the media for a while, social media. And I encourage you, if it's on Facebook or Twitter or TikTok, you're wasting your time for so much of this. Well, it's my news source and this is what it reveals. Okay, if that's your sort of thing. But this barrel came through and the path that it was taking matched almost exactly the path that came in from the other direction down, same area, as this eclipse that took place. So they were just making all these outrageous claims and all this, and people were getting all strung out. And sadly, if you read my letter, I wrote in my letter a very brief comments about what took place last Saturday night. The same thing's happening now. People are getting all bug-eyed, about what happened with on Saturday night at that rally. And so it's really important, folks, to stay glued to your Bible, common sense, pray for discernment and wisdom. Don't be jerked around through the nose with the stupidity of social media. And yet some of us are. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody in the greater Church of God, but it's like enough already. And we just, oh yeah, see, now that's what's going to happen. And so I'm going to tell you a story, and I've told this before. When I lived in Milton, Wisconsin, years ago, Harry might remember this, and Lauren and Gail, there was a buffalo herd in Janesville, Wisconsin, and there was birth to a purely white, almost completely white buffalo. Boy, that was all the thing. That was then they tied that in with the red heifer, and they were going to have sacrifices starting in Jerusalem. And one of the elders where I attended, I use that term loosely, was going on and on. He got in a message about this and that, and this was going to happen. Now we know this, and that's going to happen. So I went up to him after and said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" I said, "Have you listened to what you're saying?" "Yeah, absolutely," because he liked that sort of thing. I said, "What are we going to do if the white buffalo gets married to the red heifer and has an orange and green offspring? Then what are we going to say?" And he said, "I don't get it." I was trying to ask him to think about what he was saying. Well, lo and behold, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people came in. It was great for the economy to see this white buffalo. And they tied it into ancient Indian manuscripts and all these soothsaying things and all the prophecies in the Bible. And boy, we're just going. All of a sudden, one day it started, the hair color started to change, just like if some of you stop dyeing your hair and the roots are darker or lighter and the real color starts to come out. And if you let it grow out, you have different colored hair. Well, this buffalo turned brown like a regular one. He was no longer white. And it was like, oh, well, there. So that big thing, they made all this money and all these prophetic statements and prophecies fizzled out. And so we just need to be careful to read into what things that don't say it and not get pulled in. That can come through teachers, Bible teachers. It can come through mainstream whatever. And now with AI, it's unbelievable what can be done. So you can't tell what's true or what's not. That's why it's interesting what had happened with Pilate, the discourse between Pilate and Christ way back in the day, his time. Remember, what is truth? So that's the first thing we need to ask. If we see something like, wow, this is interesting. Look at this. Wow, this is what's going to happen. Wow. We start making these statements, is ask ourselves, I wonder if this is true. And in the grand scheme of things, what is this going to change? We want things to change. We want things to become, to fit our prophetic speculation. It makes for good entertainment and good news. And sometimes it fits very, very well. But if we haven't learned anything over the decades in the Church of God, I say this before, 72 and we're through. 73 and we flee. 74, there is no more. 75, we're still alive. And then the leader of the pastor general was never going to die. And I sat with the man that taught that over and over in these 3.5 hour seminars all the time as he traveled. I was right there with him the day that man died. He was like, his jaw dropped. He didn't know what to do. So he started scribbling down certain things. I said, what are you doing? Well, I got to make this seamless because I got to give the presentation tonight, and we can't lose the vision of where this church is going. I thought, whoa, wait a minute. You can't make up stuff. So, anyway, I'm not sure how I got off
Well,
that, but
I
go ahead.
didn't realize my one comment would lead to that, but that was good.
Don't take much, right, Derek?
Well, I guess what you're saying here is that with prophetic books like this, people can, and the sad thing is people tend to exaggerate things for their own profit and benefit.
Yes, they do.
And we see that all over the place now on social media, everywhere. People are telling half-truths because it benefits them in maybe financially or maybe other ways. But that's been going on since probably, I know of a period of time like in the, I can't remember. I heard someone give a message on in the late 1800s, someone proclaimed that Christ was going to return on a particular day at a particular year. And all of the followers were there. And when Christ didn't return, he said, oh, sorry, it was next year.
Yeah, the great, what was that called? The great Ellen G. White was one of the most famous ones. I can't remember the name of what it was
The Great
called.
Controversy, the book. Are you talking about that? Or,
Yeah,
there's a
but
book
there
like
was
that.
this proclamation, and there have been in just the last 15 years. I think of the guy in Ohio. He may still be in prison, I don't know, but he claimed all these things, and then he and his wife were the two witnesses.
Ron Wyland?
I was not going to say his name, so I
I'm
don't get
sorry.
sued. It's okay. But you have people make these outrageous statements. I think we need to be really careful. And there are certain fellowships in the body of Christ that are very strong on things that we may have taught years ago, but you can't prove it. We need to be careful because you get people in this mentality. Dean Blackwell decades ago made a comment when I worked with under him and with him, not that he was a wonderful person or not, he was kind to me, but he said that the reason he and his brothers all came into the church, they were afraid they were going to burn forever in hell. And the church gave him great opportunity to not have that happen. Well, you have groups now, and I know this is public, so people will listen, and I'll get critiqued all the way to the end of the chapter, but that's okay. That if you just are part of the true church of God, the Philadelphia church, you will be wafted away to the place of safety, and not a hair in your head will be singed. They still teach it. That's fact. That's not making fun of them. That's what they teach. I don't see that in the Bible. What I see is Hebrews chapter 11 talks about these all died not yet having received the promise. So may he protect some of us? Yes. Can he? Yes. Will he? Yes. But every last one of us? No. But that's not what we want to believe. Why would we obey God if he's not going to save our bacon? Eric's going to talk this Sabbath. I don't want to steal his thunder about, something along this topic with somebody famous in the Bible. There, Eric, don't worry.
Don't give away too much.
How do we deal with what we go through? If you're only part of keeping the Sabbath and the holy days and not eating unclean food, and observing the Passover and all the things you do because you're thinking that's your one-way ticket to protection, you don't understand how he says in Hebrews 12, you're a living sacrifice. I am crucified, Galatians 2:20, with Christ. You know what crucified means? Nevertheless, we live. It's not I or you and me, but Christ lives in us by the faith of the Son of God. So we can't just work up the faith and we're going to be protected. We are told to obey God and his new covenant people. This is a gross misunderstanding. The old covenant with Israel, for the greatest part, did not have God's spirit, was blessings and cursings. You do this, you will be blessed. Now we're told he wishes that we prosper and be blessed, but he says what? Through great tribulation, you will enter the kingdom of God. If this happens, count it joy because I suffered leaving you the example. You will suffer. So we have all kinds of things we go through. God doesn't leave us, but we cannot simply be focused on the physical. It must be the spiritual, and that's the new covenant. The heart. I will put a new heart within you. My spirit will penetrate. It'll be soft and teachable and pliable. Does he still bless us? Yes. If you tithe, obey him, keep the Sabbath, love him, love the Father and the Son and your neighbor, your fellow man the same way. Do good to others. Pray for them. Love them when they despitefully say things and treat you and beat you. But it doesn't say we're going to have this life of everybody gets a rainbow and a lollipop and there's no suffering, Kathy. Sorry, Scott. Sorry, Victoria, Harry, Lorna, Bruce, Bill, Sherry. I could go through everybody here that I know. Noe, Nada, Joellen, my mom. We're going to suffer. But that doesn't mean we're bad people or we're disobeying God. That's not, the scripture doesn't reveal that. So, anyway, there I go again, Joe. Sorry. All right. Any other comments?
Comment.
Go ahead. I heard. Yeah.
What I find fascinating both in this book and in Joel, I mean, Hosea and Joel is that, and then throughout the Bible, it talks about how much mercy and grace God has. I mean, he's just waiting for those people that have either don't know him or have turned away from him, and he welcomes them back.
Amen.
And he still
Amen.
will bless them, with so much. I mean, he's telling these people, hey, come back and I'll give you your food, I'll give you your wine, your lands, your whatever, if you just come back to me. He's just dying for people to know him and to I guess, just love him and come back to him and, like the world, if we can get all hung up on things and not see that. But it's a wonderful blessing from him that he is so, he will be mad when we don't, and he'll allow the bad things to happen to our country or whatever. Like he says, yeah, I'll retaliate upon the people that hurt you and and yourselves. I'll give you cursings, but so much blessings if we don't, I mean, if we do turn to him.
Thanks, Kathy. Okay, well.
One more comment.
Yeah.
The identification of the army of the when it's the in the book, it talks about the canker worm and then there's a progression of different, what that one had didn't eat, that one ate. What that one didn't eat, that one ate.
The caterpillar, the palm worm, yeah.
Yes. And then later on in the chapter, as we just read, I think, where was it say? It says, that's my great army. Or it was identified as his great army that came. And I've heard different sermons over the years trying to identify who this army is. I think it's 2:11. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? So sometimes, in prophecy, it can be a little bit difficult to understand. Like if you're reading Daniel 8, it can get very back and forth. You may not be able to understand what pronoun is applying to what thing or what individual.
Right.
Anyway, I've heard
That was
both
why I said there's
interpretations.
four possibilities. I'd say possibilities because I am not one, if I can avoid it, on certain things, especially with prophecy, to get very specific. Because the Church of God, the ministry, has foolishly made these bombastic, thunderous, exact statements. The old saying, if you say something, you might have to eat your words. And sometimes it's better just to say it's not being a chicken. I don't know. We don't know. If you read my letter, which is posted on the website early before Friday, you'll see it there. I just make a comment. We'll have to wait till Christ returns to find out this answer. We don't know. But right now, there are people, oh, yeah, we know exactly what happened, and this happened, and God's doing this, and God's doing that. Well, that sounds great. But maybe not. And we always want to make sure we are very careful when we say we speak for God. Because that's
Be
quite common.
very careful with that.
That adds authority to what we say as ministers and following. You get a following, and then people like that because then you can say something that they think, but they know better to say it. But if you say it, then they can rally behind you, give you their money, and everybody's happy, and everybody gets wafted away, and there's no suffering, and la da 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 da. We need to be careful. And so I just say those
It
four
sounds like the church
possibilities.
I grew up in.
Yeah. So we just need to be careful and say we don't know for sure. That's why I said four possibilities. There may be some here that say, well, it's obvious. It's this one. You should know that. You should teach that. Well, and there's some things that scripture doesn't say exactly. For example, I remember being taken to task for this one time years ago that someone said to me, well, a bunch of us are going deer hunting, going out to the lodge, we're going to play cards. And I said, you're going to hunt on Saturday? Yeah, we're going to spend Friday night. And I said, okay. They said, has you got a problem with that? And I said, no, not for you, but for me it would be. Well, so then they pushed me. Why? And I said, because I just wouldn't do that. Well, you show me in the Bible, where can you support with scripture that it says you can't hunt deer on the Sabbath? I said, it doesn't say that word for word. Christ said, thou shalt not hunt deer on the Sabbath, unquote. But the principle in Isaiah, when you what? Withdraw your foot from doing those things and call my Sabbath a delight. I said, can you go play cards and drink a little bit and tell jokes and laugh and stay up late and then go hunting all day Sunday with a slight hangover for some of you? That's okay. That's not what I read about the Sabbath is holy. It is God's day made for man. And you know what? They just shook their head and said, you don't get it, do you? I said, I guess I don't. So there are some things the Bible's not going to say. Here's the proof I have for this. Christ came and said he came to magnify the law and make it honorable. The intent of what he meant. He said, in some things, he said, and I say, not just to go sleep with this woman who's not your wife or you're not married to, but if you even do it in your mind. So he carried it because he had to explain to these people that were so rigid and exact, the implication of just the inference or his intent. But we miss that, don't we? I mean, we, the mankind, humans. So some of this, a lot of this, some of it, we can, it's fun to speculate. And back in the day, some may have said this is exactly what it is. But we need to be careful. It's like those, there are ministers, sadly, that are teaching about the Great Reset of 2030. That's your opinion. That may sound interesting. It's great to read and listen to, but it has no business behind the lectern of the Church of God, in my opinion, because it's opinion. You know, well, you got to read the book Monster of Jekyll Island. I've heard that from Psalm several. That's sad. It may be an interesting book to read, but it's not the sort of stuff that you use for teaching God's children and feeding his sheep and one another. And so you're right. You know, it says, here's my great army. But I give those options, those possibilities, because any of those you can make fit in this explanation. That's why. And so I'm not trying to mishmash or lambast or put away the teachings that many have always said. We got to go back to the faith once delivered that so and so taught. I'm in the spirit and the same shoes as so and so. You know, well, they were wrong on some things. There were things I used to teach that were so ugly wrong I've repented of, but I didn't know any better. And there's probably things I'm teaching now that are the same. And when it comes to, and I figure it out, and God smacks me hard enough, I get it, then I better repent and say, I shouldn't have taught that. I don't know. So I'm not going to be embarrassed if somebody says, I don't have an answer for that. I prefer that over make up an answer because that's what we do. Even if it sounds good, feels good. If it happens, it happens. I just pray I'm never one of the two witnesses. I'm not applying for that job.
It's a tough one, man.
Anyway,
Definitely.
okay. I must add coffee this afternoon. You can tell I
Well,
am embarrassed.
you're raring to go, man. You're ready to give another Bible study.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
So those bean cherries, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
It's
Got him
what?
going. Bing cherries.
Yeah, I thought he said he's like Ben and Jerry's. I thought I could only dream. I'd love to have some Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yeah, well,
Right. Well, I think I pretty much pontificated and went on long enough for everybody to wear them out. Looking forward to Eric's sermon Sabbath. And then next week we will have next week we will have the Bible study, and then the week after that we will not. So the 24th we will. No, wait a minute.
yes.
The 23rd we will, but the 30th we will not, and that's because I have all day of flying. I'm going up to South Dakota with my wife, who's coming back tomorrow night, and to see my mom and my kids and grandkids and some other scattered folks, brethren. So that's the plan. So I am not about to try to do this from an airport, a delayed flight, or a car. Just would not, no amount of Bing cherries could make that functional. So.
Sorry, couldn't be on for the whole thing. We're having trouble with some ships in Australia.
Well, you know what they say, when you're down under, you got to make sure the ship don't go down under. You want to say she'd be right, mate? Okay. Well, thank you everybody for being on. I appreciate it. And I'm going to ask Charles Bill Garrett, if you're still awake and copacetic, can you close in prayer, if you wouldn't mind, sir? Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll try another one. That wasn't meant to call him out, poor guy. Okay.
I had it muted, and I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
here.
All
I'm
right.
still awake,
Okay. I
sort
thought
of.
maybe you walked off to the restroom for a minute. I've done that. So would you close in prayer, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Almighty Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for this time that we've been able to spend looking at your word, listening to what it's been expounded to us. Father, we ask you that you will help us to understand the words that you've given to us tonight, and that we will meditate on these words and look back over them and use them for what we need in our daily lives. Father, you are the great and the almighty God, and you want us to understand your word. So give us a mind that we can understand and that we will look to you every day. And we ask you that you will watch over us and take care of us throughout this week. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.
Amen.